believe. It's getting worse, I believe. But I'm on the good side, aren't you? I'm on the good team. Our team wins. This side we're on, praise the Lord. One day we're going to heaven. I was thinking about heaven, you know, and reading, studying about, well, I was actually studying about the spirit of man and what the spirit of man is. Lester Summerall teaching this week on his program on the spirit of man, and spirit, soul, body. He's got some excellent teaching on me. And he'd got me thinking, and I was thinking about the spirit. You know, we have a spirit in us. We are a spirit, have a body, live in a body, and have a soul, or a mind, or our intellect, or emotions. And the heart of man is your spirit and your soul. That's your heart. What the Bible says, the heart of man is your spirit and your soul. That's what goes to heaven when you're born again, or when you die as a Christian. You go to heaven when you get, and your spirit, but you have a spirit anyway. And when it comes to the age of accountability, whatever that age is, your spirit dies. Your spirit man, born your life to God, dies. Your spirit doesn't die, but the connection to God does. Your God spirit. But then you get born again, and the Holy Spirit comes and lives in your spirit. He comes and lives in your spirit. Hallelujah. And causes us to be born again. And we become babes in Christ. Babies. Your spirit's reborn and becomes a baby. It's an infant. And it grows. You know, your spirit grows. Your spirit does. Now, your body, you might be 50 years old when you get born again. And your body's still 50, but your spirit's brand new. It's young. And your spirit has to grow. Bible talks about babyhood, infanthood, adolescence, all that, but grows in maturity. You mature inside, your spirit does. Hebrews says that you can discern good and evil when your spirit gets some maturity, and when by reason of use it's exercised, then it discerns good from evil. And telling me that people that doesn't exercise their spirit life unto godliness and doesn't let it mature and all that, they don't know good from evil. Even Christians. And you know, you can have different kind of spirits. You can have a bold spirit. You can have a weak spirit. You can be lazy. You can be all kind of things. But you got to work on your spirit to be bold. And to be strong, especially these last days, to be strong. And when you get in a tight spot and you get under pressure, what's inside of you will reveal what kind of spirit you got. You have to have an overcoming spirit, just an aggressive, overcoming, just militant, fighting spirit, warring spirit. That your body wants to quit, your body wants to lay down, your body wants to give up, but your spirit won't let it. Your spirit should dominate your body, your flesh. It should dominate it. That's why God gave it to you. You gotta, when you get your spirit reborn and gets in there, you have to dominate your soul, and you have to reprogram your soul, and your spirit's supposed to take charge of your soul, and you're supposed to live right for God. A lot of Christians don't do it, but you're supposed to. And that's where we'll stand in judgment on how the Bible says the work's done in the body. What's that mean? Did you allow your spirit to take charge of your body and cause it to be like Christ? Amen? Or was it always like the world? You know, you can be a Christian and act just like the devil. You don't even know you're saved. And after a while, if you don't do something about it, it presses you down and keeps you heavy and keeps you discouraged and keeps you beat up. But if you'll do what the Bible says, read the Word, see, this is spirit food. This spirit food you eat, Jesus said it was. The words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Words are. They're food, they're bread. The Bible says they're bread, food. If you're hungry, you'll be fed, see. And it causes you to grow up into all things. Grow up into all things. Hallelujah. God will give you things based on what age your spirit is. Whatever you can handle. Just like a kid. You're not going to give things to a little child that you'd give to an adult. Same way God is with you. The older you get spiritually, growing, whatever, praise the Lord. Amen? Well, look with me in the 13th chapter of Mark. God is a good God. And Jesus said, and Jesus wept. Remember that scripture? We used to have chapel when I was in elementary school. A preacher would come around, they'd give out little New Testaments, and we'd go have chapel, and they'd want you. Each grade would go in at a different time, and they'd go down through there and want you to quote a scripture. Well, I didn't know any scriptures. I never went to Sunday school. We didn't go to church, didn't know anything, but somebody told me there was a scripture, showed Jesus wept. So I always use that one, but I wasn't the only one. Half of the class used it. And I tried to set up kind of up front where I could get mine out first, see. especially all the guys, they didn't know anything anyway. Some of them went to Sunday school, and they knew Scripture, but I knew Jesus well. That's about it. 13:1, and they went up out of the temple. One disciple said to him, "Teacher, see what manner of stones, what buildings these are." And Jesus answered and said, "Do you see all these great buildings? Not one stone shall be left upon another. They shall all be thrown down." Wow. Now, this temple was so magnificent that people stood in awe of it. They said when the sun hit it, when the sun rose and hit that temple, that it just shined. It was magnificent with the gold on it and all that. Said it's beautiful, just cast the light. All over Jerusalem, says beautiful. People stood in awe the first time they ever saw it, how magnificent that temple was. Said people come from all around, not just Jews, everybody to see that temple, Herod's temple. He built it to try to impress the Jews, to get the Jews to love him. And he ruled over them. And Jesus said, "You see this temple, you can worship this temple, and you think this temple is wonderful and great, and which it is," but he said, not one stone will be left. Every one of them will be thrown down. Now, that's a way of prophecy, Bible prophecy. Sometimes it's so overwhelming, it's hard to believe that that'll ever come to pass. How's that going to come to pass? That's impossible. That can't happen. These stones are so magnificent and big and weigh so much, you can't cast these down. How are you going to cast these down, Lord? What are you talking about? But it happened 70 years later when they stood there that day. 70 years later it happened. When Titus came in, destroyed Jerusalem, killed, they said, probably 1 million Jews. That's when Jesus went on to say, you know, when you see this happening, run. Don't take anything. Don't take time to pack anything. Don't, if you're on a housetop, you come down quickly, you run. You go to the mountains, you hide, you get away because they'll kill you. He's warning them. They didn't know what he's saying or what he's talking about, but it came to pass. The Bible's true, isn't it? Now, as they sat on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, and John, Andrew asked him privately, tell us, when will all these things be and what will be the sign when all these things will be fulfilled? And Jesus said, take heed of all the things that Jesus could say to them. They asked him, when will these things happen? And notice what he said. Most of the time, this is what Jesus addresses when we ask him a question. When we get serious with God or serious with Jesus and we get in prayer, talking to him about things or get with him, this is usually the way it always has been with me. He addresses me, talks to me about me. And no matter what it is or what's happening or what I'm going to be or what I'm going to do or what's going to come to pass or whatever in my life, he talks to me to get me prepared for it. Jesus is interested in us. All these things are coming to pass, he says in the Bible, about the last day, the time you and I are living in, but he's interested in us. He wants you to be prepared. He wants you to be ready. All this stuff doesn't make God nervous. All these rioters and all these people and all these things happening. Doesn't look like our nation will survive and look like things are going. Look our government and all this. But I got news for you. It will survive. We'll make it. There's more of us than there are of them. Meaning good people in America. Not black or white, but good people. Good, strong, good American, God-loving, American-loving people. There's more than there are of these rioters and these young kids and all these that's trying to overthrow America. Amen. When we're pressed into it and we're backed up against the wall, we come out praying. It drives us to our knees. We start getting serious. We start taking inventory of our life, an inventory of things. Say, I better get straightened out here. I better get in church. I better get my family in. I better get straightened out. And so we start taking inventory, and then we straighten up. Amen? And we start praying, and we start calling on God, and he hears us and helps us. Praise the Lord. And I believe that will happen now. God's not through with us. So although these things are taking place, and we got a lot of idiots in government and people, but God's bigger than an idiot. Yes, amen. We have to remember that. God's bigger than these crazy people they put in office, like out in Seattle and the mayor and these people. Praise the Lord. God's bigger. He's stronger. He's able. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. And I think maybe to stir the people up. The Bible says he knows how to stir his people up to watch and pray. And we can take inventory and start voting right and getting some things straightened out and getting some leaders. Praise the Lord. But notice what he said. He didn't tell them when it was going to take place. He said, take heed that no one deceives you. That you be not deceived. Then he went through a whole list of things. You can read this in Mark. You can read it in Matthew. You can read it in Luke, where he talked about the things that would take place in the last days. And he was talking to the Jews. He wasn't talking to the church. He was talking to the Jews. And so a lot of people will try to interpret the last day situation in the church out of Matthew 24 and things. You can't do it. He's talking to Israel, the Jews. But you can interpret it to the Jews and the world. We're part of that because we're in the world still. Most of us are. Some people, I wonder. But he said, be not deceived, and many will come in my name, and I am he, and will deceive many people. But when you hear wars and rumors of war, don't be troubled. Well, that's good. We're not being troubled, are we? See, Howard Pittman, if you'll read these things that's happening today and read them in light of the Scripture, Howard Pittman saw all this with the five demons. First was a warring devil, these warring demons. And they would cause war and chaos and turmoil and rioting and disturbance and things. And when I see all these rioters and all these people and these kids, see, all of them out there, most of them's young kids or teenagers, or not teenagers, but young adults in their 20s, college students. All of them come out of our colleges. That's what we taught them. We didn't. That's what their colleges taught them, how to hate America and how to overthrow America. America's is a problem of the whole world. And so that's what our schools taught them, our colleges, that's funded by our government. That's amazing. We furnished the rope to hang ourselves. Furnished the gun, the bullets to shoot us. Not very smart. I'm hoping maybe we'll wise up later on, before it is too late. But that's what it is. The colleges taught them. But he goes on to say that there'll be, for many will come in my name, saying, and deceive many. But you'll hear wars and rumors of war. And so these demons, these warring demons, are stirring all this up. See, this is princes, demons, spirits. Howard saw them. Get that book, Eyewitness Account, I believe it's in that, of the five demons. He even had somebody draw the picture of them the way he saw them. You know, Howard been here many times, and I've talked to you about it. Very important that you know these things. Every once in a while, I'll get the books out and read it and rehearse, you know. Go back over what he said and what I read and what I know and what he saw. It's very important, because if you don't, you'll start looking at it just in the natural. And you'll try to deal with it in the natural. They're demons stirring this stuff up. Demon spirits. But if the church will pray, and we can stop it. Because you have to address these things spiritually. You have to come against these things in the spirit realm. That's how we put a stop to these riots. These warring demons, they were the master demons. They were the strongest, most powerful in all the spirit realm, these warring demons. They were great champions of strong. He said there's a kind of color of bronze color, dressed in all their uniform or armor, and very handsome looking. And they marched. You remember he said he heard them coming marching. And there was rank and file, very orderly. And said one came out of rank and came over and just had to look down on him, very tall, and just pressed his face up to Howard's face. Try to intimidate him, try to scare him. But Howard said he wasn't afraid because of that angel that was with him. Fear, he took fear away from Howard. So he wasn't afraid. But that demon came out of the rank and came over and tried to intimidate Howard. And just put his face down against Howard. Then he got back in, and they kept marching. And there's the warring demons. And they're causing this. They work and they work and they work to try to find a means by, you know, find some people. Demon spirits. See, God is a spirit. He works through the spirit. Satan is the god of this world. He works through the flesh. He don't work through your spirit. He can't get in your spirit. He has to work on the outside of man. Works on the mind. He works on the outside in suggestions and deception and all that too. See, if you teach people, see, he starts a doctrine. And just like the professors in our colleges are teaching that it's America's fault and all this stuff and propaganda. And so they teach these students, and it starts at an early age in our elementary school, and you teach them. So now then their minds open to the control of these demons. And so they make suggestions, and they get all of them together, and they control them through their mind. Well, God controls us through our spirit. And so then through that, we're supposed to control our mind. And so it's very easy once we're ignorant or taught. Satan can't do a thing until somebody believes him. God can't either. You have to believe the devil. You have to believe the lies. You have to believe what he's teaching. You have to believe his doctrine. See, Hitler spent years convincing the German people the Jews were like animals. They started in elementary school, and they had them in elementary school. They'd put pictures of Jews on the wall, and funny faces and big noses, and they taught the kids to mock them, and they told the kids that they were the problem in Germany. It was the Jews' fault, and it started at a young age, and that's why the German people were so willing and just opened up and let him just kill Jews by the millions. Because Hitler spent years indoctrinating those people. And once you indoctrinate people, it's easy. It's easy. That's why the Bible talks about the doctrines of the Bible and truth. And love, and to love the truth. If you don't know truth, it's easy to believe anything. And you have to believe truth real strong and know truth real strong and yield to that truth. And the Holy Spirit is the spirit of truth, and he'll keep you from being deceived. Number one thing Jesus said and told disciples, don't be deceived. That's the number one thing about the end times. Deception. Deception. Being deceived. And he said these warring demons will come. Then you remember, the second one Howard saw was the spirit of greed. Spirit of greed. And have we ever been in a time where it's spirit of greed and power, see? People want power. Then he saw the frog-like spirits and different ones and spirits of lust and perversion and all that. Then he saw that spirit of pandemic that brought incurable diseases. Well, we see all that working. See all that working. And he had that mystery devil, that mystery demon that brought all those demons diseases that was incurable. We're here, you know. But deception. Then he goes, I read this the other day. Then he goes down to say, in verse 8, for nation, race, will rise against race. Kingdom against governments, sin against governments. There will be earthquakes in various places, and there will be famine and troubles. That word, against in earthquakes, various places, famines and troubles, disturbances, uprising, civil uprising, protests, violence, crime, nature, upheaval in nature, commotions, all kind. That's what that means. These troubles, we see that happening. But watch out for yourself. Praise the Lord Jesus. Watch out for yourself. Well, he goes on down. I like what he said in verse 11. Now, this goes for us too. But when you're arrested or delivered up, and you don't have to be arrested, but there'll be times you'll stand before men or sometime you'll have to be a witness for the Lord Jesus, or stand up, you know, and speak out. And he says, don't premeditate what you'll say. Whatever is given you in that hour, speak that. For it is not you who speaks, but the Holy Spirit. You know, I tell people that no matter where you go, if you go to the jail or if you give, wherever you go to give testimony or witness to Jesus, don't worry about what you're going to say. It's in here. Just open up and the Holy Spirit will speak. That works. It really does. Amen. Now, I want us to look over in 2 Timothy. We know this scripture too. I was thinking of this. We can always remember that what we're facing in this hour, in this time, is spiritual. Now, the church, the body of Christ, is supposed to be spiritual. And we are. God has a remnant that He's taught faith. We had a faith movement. We had a charismatic movement. We had a Holy Spirit movement. And He taught the body of Christ, or was supposed to be taught and learn, take time and learn these things. And a teaching on authority, who we are in Christ and our authority. All these things were taught us and taught the church that one thing, that we could live above the problems, we could live above the situations, we could live above the turmoil and everything going on, but we'd also be able to combat that and come against that and rule over that in the spirit realm, that we'd have authority, that we could fight the good fight of faith, that we could bind demon spirits, that we'd have the spirit and power and might of the Holy Spirit in us to be able to stand in the last days against all these evil spirits and stand over our nation and be watchers and be prayers and be those who would stand and resist this stuff. We are the restrainers. We do it by faith. This is serious. We can't be deceived. We can't be slack. We can't be lazy. The only answer for our nation is the church. The church standing in its power, standing in its authority, standing against evil spirits, wicked spirits. Why do you think Howard was given that vision and given that teaching to bring back to the church? For our entertainment? To equip us to do warfare or battle in the last hour. Now, Howard said, the Lord told him, never ask for a place to preach. But whoever asks you to go or come to their church, you have to go. And he said, if it's not me for you to go there, I'll close the door before you get there. Well, the first time I was in another church preaching, and they had a little bookstore there, and I saw the name Howard Pittman. And that caught my attention, Pittman, you know. And I said, who is this? And I began to read on the back of his book and found out. And I said, I got to have that guy in. So I called him, and he naturally came in. And I had him many, 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 many times. That was God. That was God sending him to this church. What for? To equip us, to help us, to teach us. We're not. See, here's what people think. We're just having church. Who we having in? Oh, they were good. I really liked that. Well, I didn't get anything out of that. And we think it's just church. We don't know it's class. It's equipping us. It's for a reason. It's for an absolute reason. God is equipping us for battle. He's equipping you first of all, for you to survive, for you to make it, for you to get strong. Then the next thing, to stand against these things. God has an elite force in this nation. He has a church, a small group, an elite force, the church. It's not everybody. He's not taught everybody like he's taught us. Every church has not had the great generals in like we have. They've not come here because, oh, wasn't that good? Isn't that something? Isn't that entertaining? I hope you don't think like that. I hope you get something out of it, because God's going to call on you. He needs you, and he's going to call on us. We're the only hope for America. You understand? It's not a game. If it's a game, we lost. If it's a game, we've lost. He's equipping us, has equipped us to stand against. So the first thing he said, don't be deceived. Know what's going on. Know why they come here, why they taught you, why I raised them up. Why I gave Howard Pittman that vision. Why I let him die. Why he went to heaven. Why he came back. Why he wrote the books. Why you got them. Why you read them. Why he came here. Why he taught you. Now you know. You have revelation. You know about demons. You know about their operation. Now what are you doing about it? Do we watch TV and go to church and say, oh, it's awful. Well, I don't think we're going to make it. We prayed Donald Trump in, and we're going to pray him in again, because we have authority. Hope I didn't upset you. I say that for a reason. I lost one because I mentioned Donald Trump. They said they couldn't come back because I said too much about Donald Trump. Well, I'm sorry. I'm not being political. I'm being serious. I don't have a favorite. I'm not trying to be political. I think it's serious, very serious where we're at. So we've been equipped. I think tithing is more than just us giving our money. If you read over in Joshua, we get a kind of a glimpse into what tithing really does, because God told Joshua when they messed up, he said, do you know he's bound up the nation? He's stopped the whole nation from forward movement. He stopped us. I believe tithing affects this nation. What we do in our tithing, I believe, affects this nation, because tithing is a spiritual force. It opens windows of heaven to pour out a blessing on our nation. Not just us. Amen? Because we're living in this nation. You could go anywhere in the world, and if you believe that strong and practice that strong and teach a church in that nation that strong, then you see that nation begin to turn around. And if that church taught another church, and that other church believed it strong and did it strong and prayed strong over their tithe, then it began to teach another church, you'd see the nation change. You'd see the whole nation start prospering. And most times, church people, we think, well, it's just church. I'm just giving because I want to get rich. No, it's war, my brother and sister. It's war. Satan is a master at one thing, deception. He is a master deceiver. So Jesus said, take heed. They said, when will this happen? He said, take heed, you don't be deceived. That ain't what I asked you. Didn't ask you whether or not I was deceived. I asked you when the building's going to fall. Jesus saying, listen, that's going to happen. You can't do anything about it. It's going to happen. Just don't you be deceived and get caught up in what's going on around you and the things that's coming on the earth. Because it's coming on the earth and you can't do a thing about it. It's coming. But don't you be deceived, and in the midst of it coming, you be strong and you fight that fight and you bring light in the darkness. Amen? Amen. Over in 2 Timothy, notice. Now let's keep that in mind about what Jesus said. The number one thing he said about would be a sign of the last days was deception. So here in 3rd chapter of 2 Timothy, but know this, that in the last days hard, difficult, perilous times will come. Now notice, now think about the deception. For men will be lovers of themselves, period. Now, let's look here. Now, Peter said it, Jesus said it, Paul said it about false prophets, false teachers. Paul even said that they'd heap to them teachers having itch and ear. Heap of teachers. Paul warned over and over and over in his teaching. Jesus also did, Peter did, about paying attention to doctrine. Make sure you have the right doctrine. And make sure you preach doctrine, he told Timothy. And make sure that you have the right doctrine, you listen to the right doctrine. Now here, Jesus said, now what's deception? Now he said one of the signs of deception in the last day when perilous time comes, men will be lovers of self. I just wrote down, just not really paying much attention and looking it up much, but just a few of the messages of some of the leading preachers in America on TV, learning to love yourself. One of them was. Having the right relationship with yourself was another sermon. Having self-esteem, believing in yourself. That's just three that I just caught one day. See, what the main message is in the body of Christ today is self. You, self. You, about you. It's all about you. Lovers of what? Self. Wow. Well, and it just happened to come along just at the right time, just out of nowhere, the a grace message that taught you that self is okay. Self is already forgiven. Self, no matter what self does, self is forgiven and self can do anything. That's not what Jesus taught. Jesus taught things like, you're going to have to deny yourself, you're going to follow me. Do you notice there's not a whole lot of teaching about the cross? There's not a whole lot of teaching about repentance or forgiveness. Or, you know, if the church, its message should be, and if the church followed the proper teaching, look in with me in Matthew chapter 5. Back when I grew up, I mean, they had some, you at the church, you know, everything was just laid out there on the altar. I mean, you couldn't walk out of there without being judged by the Holy Spirit. Really? You was brought to a place of, Holy Spirit confronted you. Yeah. Yeah. Now, I know there's a lot of legalism, but thank God we got out of that. But the message today, pretty much predominant message in the successful young ministers, and a lot of it's just, if you listen closely, and I'm not, you know, condemning them, putting them down, none of my business. But you, listen to it. It's all about self. Loving yourself. Loving yourself. I've even heard messages on that, a lot of them. Now, you know, as I was flipping through, loving yourself. Well, are we supposed to love ourselves? Well, certainly. Bible says, love people as you love yourself. But wait a minute now, it said love people. Satan is a deceiver. He takes truth and he brings, like with Adam and Eve, like with Eve, hath God said. And he took truth and mixed deception with it. Sure, we should love ourselves. Sure, we should have messages on having a proper self-esteem in Jesus. Your self-esteem should not be anywhere in you. Should be in Christ. That's where you got or get your self-esteem. In Christ. He'll give you a strong self-esteem in Christ. He'll make you bold in Christ. He'll give you authority in Christ. He'll say, I can do all things through Christ. Through Christ. Amen? Amen. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 5, verse 40. If anyone wants to sue you and take away your coat, let him have your cloak also. Now, that's not the teaching and the preaching and any of that on the news media today. It's not, you know, forgiving and loving in the right way. And it's division. And we hurt and we're wounded. We have a right to be. We have a right not to forgive. We have a right to feel this way. We have a right. And a lot of them, some of them says they're preachers, and that's not the teaching of Jesus. You know, I can tell you how to solve this problem we're having in America easily. If every Christian would just stand up and just forgive everybody and just love everybody, and the rest of it go away. But we've allowed the world to bring hate and unforgiveness in the church or in our lives to where we're hurt and bitter and angry and over something we didn't have anything to do with. Are you out there? And whosoever compels you to go a mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to him who asks you, and from him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn him away. Are you out there? You have heard that it is said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. I tell you that you love your enemies. Love your enemies. That'd fix our problem right there in America. Now, the world is supposed to hate. But I'm telling you, there's enough church people, enough Christians in America that we could overwhelm the whole thing if we acted like we're supposed to, not loved ourselves. And our right to be angry, and our right to walk in unforgiveness, and our right to be bitter, and our right to be mad, our right to be this, or right to be that. Understand? Lover of self. It's very deceiving, that is. It is very deceiving. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and the good and sends rains on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the IRS do that? And if you greet your brother not only, what do you do more to others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore you shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds to be seen. It goes on with the Beatitudes and on with the our lifestyle and how we're supposed to live and all of it. Now, none of that, listen, none of that is about me. None of that is about loving me or preserving my flesh or my feelings or my anything. If there's one thing you'll find out following Jesus, you will deny your rights. You'll deny your rights. You don't have a right to hate, a right to be mad, or a right to be angry at anybody, or a right to not forgive. You have no rights anymore. You lost them. Amen? Amen. But Satan is so deceptive that men will be lovers of themselves. And if you look at it, it's everywhere. You think the Bible said so much about false teachings and stuff and in the last day, but if you look, we think, well, you know, Lord, I don't see any false teaching. But maybe we don't see it the way Christ sees it. Maybe we don't hear it the way he hears it. Maybe some of it's not as close to the Bible as we think it is. Amen? Over in Ezekiel chapter 28. This is about Satan. I wrote this down in just observance and things that's in searching out different things. Some of the strong messages today that's been in the church is permissive grace is one of them. I believe in grace. I believe Jesus has given us grace, and thank God for grace. But Titus says that his grace is given to us to teach us not to sin, not giving us permission or saying you can sin, it's already forgiven. That's a wrong grace. That's deception. And that's pretty strong in the body of Christ now. And I've run into some people trying to help, and they had that teaching, and you couldn't help them then. Ran into a guy that had a demon, and he knew he had a demon, trying to help him. And I said, before I can pray for you, you're going to have to repent for some things and not let this come back in your life. And what he said, what I need to repent for. And I told him, and he said, I've already been forgiven of that stuff. I don't have to repent for that. There is no repentance. I'm under grace. How you going to help anybody like that? That leaves the door wide open for the devil. No matter what you cast out, it'll come back because you don't think you have to live right. Permissive grace. One of the strong teachings or movements in the body of Christ is social justice. We've preached more and involved more in social activities than we are in preaching. And I believe the church ought to be involved in social stuff, but not to the expense of preaching the gospel, and that's all you preach and do is in social stuff. You can't fix the society or fix mankind until they repent. The Bible says that man's heart is wicked above all things. Unless we change the heart of man, you're not going to help anybody. The problem is sin. That's our problem. And if we had some strong evangelists and people out there preaching against sin and preaching like it's supposed to be, you know, but it's more social stuff than it is preaching. Are you out there? A lot of New Age teachings in the body of Christ with the music. They're more into an experience than they are into doctrine. People would rather have an experience than they will just get old Bible doctrine and teaching. All the miracles that the children of Israel saw coming out of Egypt didn't help any of them to go into the promised land. The only two that went into the promised land of every one of them was the two that got the word. Joshua and Caleb, they heard what God said. You can do it. You can take it. And all the miracles that they saw God perform did not help them to have victory in life one bit. We have experience after experience after experience, and I like to see if you have experiences. But if you want that more than you want the Word of God, then we're deceived. Amen? Another thing is mixing religions. That's still big in the body of Christ. Very deceptive. Very deceptive. And it's obvious when we say, Islam and Christianity and all that, but there's some things that's trying to mix in the body of Christ that's just as dangerous, that's not as obvious. Amen? Verse, you were sealed of perfection, verse 12. Full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Ever precious stone was your covering. Sapphire, topaz, diamond, pearl, onyx, jasper, sapphire, turquoise, emerald, and gold. Workmanships of your timbrel and pipes was prepared for you on the day you were created. You were anointed. Cherub who covers. I establish you. You're on the holy mountain of God. You walk back and forth in the midst of the fiery stones. You were perfect in all your ways from the day you were created until iniquity was found in you. By the abundance of your trading, that's politics, you became filled with violence. Wow. In heaven, he became full of violence. And you sinned. Therefore, I cast you out as a profane thing out of the mountain of God, and I destroyed you covering cherub from the midst of your fiery stone. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. Now, notice, it was all about self. All about self. If you read in Isaiah, it talks about I. Well, no wonder one of the last day spirits that will be so prominent and alive is the love of self. You know that's Satan in his highest form. Exalting flesh, exalting ourself, exalting. You were lifted up because of your beauty. You were corrupting your wisdom. For your sake and your splendor, I cast you to the ground. I laid you before kings. Brother Hagin, I've heard him say this many times. If you ever watched him, he said the Lord told him, he said, now, see, he had so much anointing and revelation and insight. Paul said that I knew a man once in the flesh or out of the flesh. I don't know. It's 14 years ago this happened. He said, but this man saw things that can't be explained. He said he was lifted up to the third heaven and he saw these things. Paul wasn't even mentioned himself as that man. He spoke of him in the third person. I knew a man. I guess you did as you. But he wasn't even address it as him. And he said this man saw things that couldn't even be expressed. I don't know how to tell you what I saw, in other words. He went to heaven. He was stoned to death. And all of his splendor, and there wasn't anything then in that time frame to explain any of the things they saw in heaven. And he said, because of all of his revelation, and because of all the things that he saw and where he is elevated spiritually and authority and power and anointing, that was given him a thorn in the flesh that it might, in other words, might keep him humble. Now, most people don't understand that at all. And he said, I sought the Lord three times. He'd removed that, and he said, nothing else I can give you. My grace is sufficient. You've got grace, it'll win the victory, is what God said. God wasn't telling him that you have to put up with it. He said, I've given you grace to overcome it. But Paul said, he was saying this for himself, there was giving me a thorn in the flesh because, and if you read on, he says, unless I be exalted above measure, there was given me a thorn in the flesh. Unless I be exalted above measure. Paul knew. He said, when I'm weak, that's when I'm the strongest. Paul knew the dangers of this flesh and thinking too highly of it. He knew that. The Bible says not to think too highly of yourself. It didn't say not to think highly of yourself in Christ. But it's such a fine line there, you have to be careful. Paul knew the dangers of being exalted. He said, every day I have to keep my flesh under unless I be disqualified. Because Paul had a tendency to be a little arrogant anyway. Because if you study history, he loved to debate. He loved to win arguments. That's why he'd go to the synagogue every time he went into town to debate or argue with the Jews, and every time he got beat up. And if you study Acts, when he quit going to the Jews, he quit getting beat up. It was the Jews beating him up. It wasn't because he was being persecuted. He was going down there arguing with the Jews, and he won the arguments, and they'd get mad and beat him up. He knew how dangerous the flesh is. Kenneth Hagin said the Lord told him in one of his visions, he said, now, he talked to him, he said, for an hour and a half or whatever, and said the Lord started walking off, but he stopped and turned around and come back. And said he stood there and looked at him. He said, be careful with money. He says, because a lot of my ministers have got money-minded and lose the anointing. And he told him, said, don't let people, I don't know exact words you use, but in other words, he said, don't let people brag on you too much when they're introducing you or give you too high accolades or, other words, talk too much about who you are. Because he said, if you do, you'll lose your anointing, lose the anointing. And I've seen Brother Higgins, they'd come up to introduce him and they'd start. If you ever noticed him, he called himself Brother Hagin. And that's what he wanted you to call him, Brother Hagin. Well, sure, he had all these revelations, written all these books. He was had a doctorate, had all these things. And I've seen men come up and start introducing him and start mentioning some of his accomplishments, and he'd just walk up. He'd walk up and say, thank you very much, and push him out of the way. There was a reason he was anointed like he was till the day he died. Now, I don't have that much trouble because I don't have that much anointing like that. But still yet, it's the same thing, same principle. Lover of flesh. There's something about us that love to be exalted. We love to be exalted, and we love to exalt man or flesh. And you see a lot of church, whatever, that love to have the man. And it's dangerous. And it's very destructive and very deceptive, and it's alive in our midst. Men will be lovers of self. Then if you'll read the rest of those, all of it comes from that one open door. The rest of those things there in 2 Timothy. Because that opened the door to all that demonic activity, because the church became lovers of flesh, lovers of self. Amen? Stand up with me. That's why I don't need anybody to come up and start talking about all my accomplishments. First of all, don't have any. So ain't nothing anybody can talk about, so praise the Lord, we don't have to worry about it. But still yet, the flesh is the flesh. You have to watch it. See how Satan was. You have to watch it. Can't be a lover of the flesh. You say, well, aren't we supposed to have high self-esteem, and we can't love people unless we love them just like we love ourselves? No, that's not how you love people. You love people like Jesus loved you. Amen? I know it says that you treat people the way you want to be treated. Exactly right. Do unto others you'd have them do unto you. And you love as you love yourself. But you've got to love yourself through Jesus. If you love yourself any other way, then it's the wrong kind of love. If you love yourself because you're great in the flesh and you're wonderful in the flesh, is that how you're going to love people? That's not the way to love people. You love people because you found out how much Jesus loves you, and so that's how you love them. And the other thing is deception. Amen? You can't go up and say, man, I wish you was as great as I was. Amen? Father, we thank you. We thank you for the church, Lord. We got to get ourselves back in the center of your will, under your authority and power, to where we can stand and resist these strong spirits that's trying to control our land, control our homes, control our schools. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. You said if we would repent and call upon you and humble ourselves, that you'd hear from heaven and heal our land. You said if we'd humble ourselves, we could resist the devil and he'd flee. Father, we understand, we know in the flesh we're nothing. In the flesh we have no accomplishments. In the flesh we can do nothing. In the flesh we can be nothing. But in you we're everything. In you we're worthy. You made us worthy. In you we have authority. In you we have power. In you we're bold. In you we live and move and have our being. In you we're overcomers. In you, Lord, in you we're more than conquerors. Thank you, Lord. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. And we thank you for the authority we have in Jesus' name to stand against every wicked, evil spirit in heavenly places. And we thank you, Father, for giving our president strength, giving him boldness, giving him wisdom. And Lord, we give you all praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Praise the Lord. God bless you.